Today Shirim Sech Techul and Daf Kuf Lamed, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem, the new Perek Hazroi V'L'Chaim. Our Perek, and actually the next Perek as well in Mitzvah Hashem, will primarily focus on Matnas Kuhuna. The halacha is, as we will learn there, Chavdal Matnas Kuhuna, the 24 different gifts that the Torah says we're supposed to give to the Kohanim. Our Mishnah focuses on the Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva, which the Gemara will admit Hashem identify later in the parak exactly what they are, but just for the sake of this shir, Zroya is the foreleg, L'Chaim are the cheeks, the jaw, and Keva is the stomach of the every animal slaughtered was given to, must be given to the Kohen. The Gemara also further in our parak will indicate that these parts are the parts given to the Kohen. The Gemara connects it to a famous incident with Pinchas and the episode with Zimri ben Salu and Cosby bas Tzor. Although I did also see a very nice pshat from Zalman Sirotskin, who indicates that the Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva are connected to what we eat. Meaning, when we give Trumas and Maisris, he says the reason we're supposed to give Trumas and Maisris is to so that from everything we gather, all the produce we gather, we take off a portion and give to the Kohen. The Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva represents how we eat. You pick up your food with you pick up the food with your hands, you chew it with your teeth, and you digest it with your stomach. And we show that everything we eat and that we should be healthy to eat comes all from Hashem, and we give the Kohen a portion to represent that. Actually, that vart answers a question that I saw the Mefarshim ask. The Mishnah and the Gemara constantly, and it's actually a pasuk in the Torah, when they speak about the Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva, speak about it this way, Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva. But if you look at an animal, it isn't the way you look at an animal. First you'll see the L'Chaim, and then you'll see the Zroya, and then you'll see the Keva. But if we follow the order of eating, then it works. You eat first with your hands, then with your teeth, and then with your stomach. The Mishnah begins by saying that the Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva are a mitzvah that apply in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. And in fact, as Rashi seems to indicate, it's obvious that that should be the halacha, because Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva is not a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, and therefore should not be limited to Eretz Yisrael. But in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn that later in our parak, the opinion of Rabbi Eloi, who says that actually Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva is only in Eretz Yisrael, he connects the Chiv of Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva to the Chiv of Trumas and Maisris, which only apply to produce of Eretz Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch, when it speaks about Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva, brings two shittas. If the first sheet, he says that Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. The second opinion he brings is that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and he actually says V'chein Nohagu. Our minig is only to give that we only have Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva in Eretz Yisrael, and that is the minig of most communities. There are achronim that indicate that they were machmer to do Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva even in Chutz Laretz. The Gra, the Chassam Sofer, did do Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva even in Chutz Laretz. And in fact, I even saw a tshuva from the Marsham, where he indicates that if somebody wants to be machmer, it doesn't look like he's trying to do something wrong, and he can do it. There are other reasons why the Paiskim take a lenient view towards Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva Chutz Laretz. One is because there are opinions in the Rishonim that even if Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva applies in Chutz Laretz, as the Mishnah seems to indicate, it only means in the countries near Eretz Yisrael. Countries further from Eretz Yisrael were never included in the Chiv, and we found such a concept by Trumas and Maestros as well. Furthermore, there are Paiskim that seem to indicate, as we just quoted the opinion of Rabbi Loi, who says that Zroya L'Chaim V'Keva isn't in Chutz Laretz, because he connects that Chiyuv to Trumas and Maisris. There are Paiskim that seem to indicate that According to Beloy, if there's no chiv of Trumas and Maestris b'daraisa, as there isn't b'zman hazeh, even in Eretz Yisrael, there wouldn't be a chiv of Zroi l'chayim v'keva, even in Eretz Yisrael, midaraisa. And it would be a very big nafkamina. Because if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Loi, which the Shulchan Aruch seems to be following, and according to Rabbi Loi, the chiv nowadays is entirely only a chiv the Rabbanon, that's why we could take a lenient approach, because it's a suffix Rabbanon, a suffix Rabbanon l'kula. One more interesting discussion is when this royal l'chayim v'keva is given, do you make a bracha? So there are some paiskim that say you make a bracha. The Gros says you make a bracha. There are those that say that a bracha should not be recited for two reasons. One is, when is a bracha said? A bracha said by Trumas and Maestris. Because we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and Al Perik that we know that until the Trumas and Maestris are removed from the produce, they're tevel. There's a chiv misa to eat from that produce. If the Zroi L'chayv Akeva are not removed from the animal, there is no isser to eat from that animal. So the need for a bracha is only in a place where without this act, the food would have been prohibited. Furthermore, there are those that say you don't make a bracha on something that isn't completely in your control. And Zroi L'chayv Akeva is not completely in your control, because the kohen has to be agreeable to accept the Zroi L'chayv Akeva, and therefore a bracha is not recited. As I said, it's a machloikis if a bracha should be or should not be said. So the Mishnah begins, as Zroi L'chayv Akeva, Noyagim Ba'aretz B'chutz La'aretz. Again, for those that have time, Rashi is a difficult Rashi. Rashi seems to indicate that there's no chiddush in this halacha. Of course it applies to chutz laretz. It's not a mitzvah tluy baretz. It's only part of the Mishnah because of the other halachas, where really Rashi is a difficult Rashi to understand, because I just quoted the opinion of Rabbi Loi, who says that it isn't applicable in chutz laretz, and therefore our Mishnah is very much needed to tell us that the Tan of our Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Loi. B'fnei abayis, v'shleib b'fnei abayis, it makes no difference to the Beis HaMikdash is standing. B'chulin, however, it only applies to chulin, somebody's magdish an animal, then there's no chiyuv of Zroi L'chayim V'keva. And a word of introduction is in order. The Torah speaks about a number of matnas kahuna. The Torah speaks about reishis hageiz, actually the title of the next perek, which means that when you shear the wool of the animal, you have to give it to the kohen. There it's very clear in the Torah, and be clear now shear as well, that that only is by chulin. Zroi L'chayim V'keva, it's not clear what the halach is. Is it only by chulin or even by mukdashim? So the Mishnah is assuming that it's only by chulin because it's right next to the parasha of Reishis Hageiz, not by hegdish. To which the Mishnah asks, Shahoy Bedin. An argument can be made on the other way. Because a ma'am chulin, if we speak about chulin, she'en achayyavim b'chaz v'shaik, where there is no chiyav of chaz v'shaik, we know when a carbon shlamim is brought, the chaz v'shaik are given to the kohanim, even though the Yisrael who brought the carbon keeps the rest of the carbon. So im ma'am chulin, she'en achayyavim b'chaz v'shaik, there's no chiyav chaz v'shaik by chulin, chayyavim matanis, yet there is a chiyav of Zroi L'chayim V'keva, kachim, so by kabonos, shechayavim b'chaz v'shaik, where there is a chiyav of chaz v'shaik, ein adin shechayavim b'tanas, certainly there ought to be a chiyav of Zroi L'chayim V'keva, tamalaymer, ve'etin oysam u'aron ha'koin u'levonov choyk oylam, ela masha ba'om v'inyan. They're only entitled to chaz v'shaik, not to Zroi L'chayim V'keva. And that's how we know that by kachim, there is no chiyav Zroi L'chayim V'keva from the word oysam. So I saw a great question. The Mishnah, we'll discuss it in a moment, is suggesting that just like by chulin we have a chiyav Zroi L'chayim V'keva, so should be the halacha by kachim. An argument can be made the other way. Everything, you have to give something to the kohen. So by the karbonis, he gets his portion through the chaz v'shaik. By the chulin, he gets his portion for his royal l'chayim v'keva. Why would I say that by chulin? He already got a portion. He got his portion through the chaz v'shaik. So I saw a very nice teretz. If indeed the halacha looked at the chaz v'shoik that the kohen receives from a carbon as something that we're giving him, then it's a very good point. He gets here chaz v'shoik, and here he gets zrei l'chai v'keva. But we're going to learn that when a kohen gets a share of the carbon, it's not that we're giving it to him. He gets it from Shemayim. And therefore, the Mishnah is making a strong argument that we should have a responsibility, as we do by Chulin, to give him Zroi L'chaim V'keiva, teaches us the word Oysam that not. We know that there are two types of Hegdish. There's a Hegdish that has Kedushas Haguf, and there's a Hegdish that has Kedushas Tomim. Kedushas Haguf means that you're Magdish an animal to be brought on the Mizbeach. Kedushas Tomim means that you're talking about monetary value. And when we speak about monetary value, there's really two examples. One is when somebody donated kesef or shava kesef on behalf of the Bedek Abayis, or when someone donated an animal, which is a balmum, and therefore because it's a balmum, it cannot be brought as a carbon. Donated a balmum, and that animal can't be brought as a carbon, so we have to sell the animal and use the proceeds as a carbon. Actually, the Rishonim point out that even though that is the halacha, as I just said, that if you magdish an animal that's a balmum, you sell it and buy a healthy animal, you are over an isser. Because one isn't supposed to be magdish an animal that's a balmum, unless you're doing it specifically or expressly for Bedek Abayis. Furthermore, the Rishonim say, if somebody said that he's magdish the animal, and it's clear that he means that this animal that he's being magdish, which is a balmum, should be brought as a carbon, again, it would not be hegdish. Why? Because it's a meaningless statement. It can't be brought as a carbon. Where it's not obvious that that's what he meant, we say what he meant was that it should be sold, and the proceeds should be used for hegdish. So, for carbon. So since this animal that somebody was magdish has this inherent problem that it's not, that can never be kedushas haguf, therefore teaches us the Mishnah. If it was about mum and then you were magdish it, and then you applied it, so chayavim b'chayra. There is a chiyav b'chayra that animal, anything born from that animal after you applied it will have a chiyav b'chayra. Let me explain the following. Rashi and Tosfos both agree that while the animal has this hegdish, albeit the weaker hegdish, there is no chiyav b'chayra. Why is there no chiyav b'chayra? Because the only time there's a chiyav b'chayra is by an animal, there's two ways of looking at it, essentially almost the same, that's owned by Yisrael. This animal isn't owned by Yisrael, it belongs to hegdish. Or something that it's hegdish is excluded from Bechorah. But once you pied it, it reverts back to being Chulin. And any baby it will have afterwards will have a Chiv Bechorah. And similarly, there'll be a Chiv Matonis when the animal is no longer Hegdish, Yoitzin Chulin, and when you pied the animal, Ligozes Lovid. Even though we're going to learn by an animal that had Kedushas Aguf and then became Balmum, the next part of the Mishnah, even after you poide that animal, it retains a vestige of Kedusha, and you can't shear its wool, and you can't work with it. Here, since it never had a high level of Kedusha, why did it not have a high level of Kedusha? Because it was a balmum before you were magdish it. So when you poide it, you could do it anything you want with it, shear it, work with it. And vladan v'chelban mutter, the milk that this animal expresses after you poide it, or the children that I have, will be mutter. Mutter lacha pejoidim. There will be mutter after you pointed them. And here too, we need to explain what the Mishnah refers to. Certainly, we're not referring, say the Rishonim, to where the animal is still hegdish, and while the animal is hegdish, it expressed milk or had a child. Because then how could you use it for chulin? And certainly on the other hand, if after you pointed it, produced milk or had offspring, so it's certainly not Kagdish. We're referring here to a situation where it conceived this baby while it was Hegdish, then you applied it, and then it had the child, and the halacha is that that child is mutter. There's a halacha we know, shchutei chutz, that you're not allowed to offer a carbon outside of the Azara, outside of the Mizbeach. It won't apply to this carbon, because it's not Kedushas Aguf. V'sheichten b'chutz potter. Furthermore, the Torah HaKadosh teaches us that if somebody has a carbon, lo yamarenu, you should not substitute one animal for another animal. But the Torah teaches us, if one does what he's not supposed to do, and he does do a tamura, he doesn't do a substitution, that the substitution is valid, both animals are carbon, won't apply here. Why? Because where did the Torah teach us the halacha of tamura? Only by an animal that has kedushas aguf. This is not an animal that has kedushas aguf. V'mesu, in, let's say, before the animal expired, you did not have the opportunity to redeem it, and then it died, so you can repay it after it dies. Chutz min b'chol min ha'maisa. There are two exceptions. We, even though the animal has a mum before it became hegdish, it still has kedushas aguf. What is that? A bechor. If a bechor is born with a fatal, with a serious blemish, it's still a bechor. A bechor is a bechor is a bechor. The only nafkamina is, and we're going to learn the next mesechta, mitzashem, mesechta bechoris, the nafkamina is as follows. That an animal that's born healthy and is healthy, a bechor, is brought as, on the mizbeach as a carbon. An animal that's a balmum, a bechor, is just eaten by the kohanim. And the same thing by Meiser. We know that the Meiser procedure is that they let the 10 animals go through, and every 10th animal is identified as Meiser. And if the 10th animal that comes through is the Balmum, it's still Meiser. You won't bring it as a carbon, but it has the label Meiser. Now we speak about the other situation. Kol Shekidem Megdeshim Esmuman. Here we had a healthy animal, you were Magdish it, and therefore, because you were magdish a healthy animal, it has kedushas aguf, and then it became balmum. Or, says the Mishnah, oimum oiver kaidum legdeshin, which means it was a balmum, but it really wasn't, because it was a passing mum. It wasn't a permanent blemish. So therefore, again, it has kedushas aguf. Ulachemikan, so you have an animal with kedushas aguf, and then that animal with kedushas aguf then becomes balmum. The niftu, and they are nifta, the loch is pturim and a bechayra, they still, because they had in them this level of kedusha, are still part from bechayra. Ulmin a betanis, there's no chiv to give the matnas kuna from this animal, even after you paid it. Then yotzul chum li gozes le ovid. Since they had this level of kedusha, even after you pay them, you can't treat them like all other animals. You can't shear the wool. You can't use it for work. And v'lodan v'chelben osser. And again, as I said earlier, what's the case? We're not speaking about an animal, the v'lodan chalav that they produced while they were hegdish. Of course that's hegdish. And we're not talking about what they produced after they were nifta, because then they're not kodesh at all. Here we're referring again, as I said earlier, that they were conceived by Kedusha, but they were actually produced Shaloi by Kedusha, because they had this high level of Kedusha, of Kedusha Saguf, they remain Osir Lacha Pejoinim. Vashartim Chutz, since they have Kedusha Saguf, so the Alok of Shchutei Chutz applies. Since they have Kedusha Saguf, the Din of Temur applies. Vemesi Yikru. Now the Mishnah teaches another Alokha. The Alokha is that if the animal, and let's think through the case. The animal was a healthy animal. You were magdish it. So it had kedushas aguf. And then it becomes a balmum. So just for proper terminology, throughout Shas, that animal is called psulei hamagdashim. And you're supposed to be poided the animal. But let's say you did not have the opportunity to be poided the animal before it died. You can no longer be poided. And Rashi gives two reasons. One is, because we're going to learn there's a halach that when you pay the hegdish with kedushas aguf, it has to have hamod of arach, it has to be standing. Dead animals can't stand. The other reason is, ain't paidim lachilim laklovim. The animal that dies is a nevela. What does the Torah say about a nevela? Kalif tashlich and son. The dogs eat it. Ain paidim of hegdish, we're not paid the hegdish to serve it to dogs. So we go back, says the Gemara, to the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah. That why are hegdish excluded from Zroya l'chayim v'keiva? Tam the kos rechmana osam. Because the Torah said that word osam. Halav hachi, had the Torah not taught us that word, hava amina, we would indeed think, as the Mishnah suggested, that kochim are chayiv matanis, just like chulin. Because as the Mishnah taught us, we would say that if chulin is chayiv matanis, and they're not chayiv in chaz v'shoik, kochim should certainly be chayiv matanis. Ask the Gemara, how can we make such a kavachoymer? Ikle mifrach, mal chulin shekain chayiv b'chayra. And chulin animals chayiv b'chayra. We just learned in our Mishnah that kochim animals are not chayiv b'chayra. So we could say, you're saying that kachim are more chomer than chulin. Where was the raya? Because kachim are chai v'chaz v'shoik. Chulin are not. I could make a counter argument that chulin are more chomer because chulin are chai v'chayra and kachim are not. Says the Gemara, that isn't a strong argument because taisim is chorim. Female animals can have children. Male animals can't have children, so there's no b'chayra by chulin that are males. Says the Gemara, Mal Zacharim Shekei Chayovim Bereshit Sageis. As I said in the Mishnah, even though we could have a discussion about Zroya L'chaim V'keva, there is no room for discussion about Reshit Sageis. Only Chulin is Chayiv and Reshit Sageis, not Kachim. So again, we could say, you can't learn Kachim from Chulin, because Chulin has a Chumrah that it's Mechuyiv and Reshit Sageis, and Kachim aren't. Says the Gemara, not all chulim are matiyashim. Goats don't have hair, don't have wool, so there's no reshus hageis. Says there are mal matiyashim, but again chulin has the chumra shekein nichnasim ledir lis aser. There's a chiyuv of maisa behema, but only by chulin, not by kachim. Says the Gemara, mizakenim. You don't have to take your animal every year through the maisa process. Once it goes through in its first year of its life, as the Gemara teaches us from Masechta Rosh Hashanah, you don't take it back into the Maisa procedure every year. So not all chulin have Maisa. Says the Ramal Zakenim, Shekein Nichnas Uladir L'Sasser. Yes, this year I don't have to take it in, because I did it last year. Kachim I never had to do. Says the Gemara, Melekuach V'yosam. Even though the halacha, as I've said, is that all animals that are not Kachim are M'chuyiv V'Maisa Behema, there's a specific limud that excludes animals that you bought, not that were born by you, and yosem. What does a yosem mean? So again, the Mefarshim explain as follows. An animal who died and had a fetus in its womb, even if you could extract that fetus, it could never be born naturally. It could only be born with cesarean, with a yotzedeifen. There's no chiv meiser by yotzedeifen. On the other hand, if an animal was born naturally and its mother then died later, there is no question that it's mechuyev v'maiser. Everybody's mother ultimately dies. What are we speaking about here? We're speaking about a very unique situation that the animal, that the mother died in childbirth, and therefore this child, this baby animal, never had a mother because it died during childbirth, and there's a special limud that excludes that animal from maiser. So we see they're not all chulin achayiv and meiser either. Malakuch v'yosam shekein nechnasim b'vin and ladir l'saser. Yes, these specific animals aren't mechuyiv in meiser because of the unique circumstances, but they're part of a species that are mechuyiv in meiser. Says the Gemara, if that's what you're reduced to, b'minim kamet, that we look at the species, kachim not even b'minim nechnasim ladir l'saser. Maybe the particular animal that's kachim doesn't have a chiyuv meiser, but it's part of his family, it's part of his species that has a chiyuv meiser. And therefore, says the Gemara, we have no other choice but to say we need a pasuk. So the kav chomer stands, and therefore we need the pasuk of oisam to exclude kachim from a chiyuv zroya l'chaim v'keiva. But now the Gemara asks the opposite question. why should we say the chulin achay v'chaz v'shoik by making the following kavachoyma? Oma kotshim shein chayav matanis. If kotshim that have no chiv of zroil chay v'keva, chayavim b'chaz v'shoik are chay b'chaz v'shoik, as we just finished learning, chulin shechayavim matanis, chulin that have a chiv of zroil chay v'keva, ain't a din shechayavim b'chaz v'shoik. They certainly ought to be chay b'chaz v'shoik. Amakra, to which the pasuk says, v'zeh yeh mishpat ha'kohanim, it's a pasuk by the din of matnas kuna, zeh in, only Israel chay v'keva are applicable midachrin aloy, not chaz v'shoik. Says the Gemara, elatam de kas rachmana zeh. So what's the reason chulin are excluded from chaz v'shoik? Because it's a pasuk zeh. Halav hachi, were I not to have that pasuk, have a mina chulin chayovim b'chaz v'shoik, then we would say that chulin are actually chay b'chaz v'shoik. Ask the Gemara, how can we even have such a havamina? V'boi tenufa. Part of the process when you give chaz v'shoik is that you have to go through a tenufa, a waving process. And as the Mefarshim explained, the waving process is not connected to the carbon. The waving process is connected to the fact that it's given to the Kohanim. And it's part of the procedure, how it's presented to the Kohanim. And now the problem would be, if it's chulin, heichlin fui, exactly how should you do tenufa? Iavroi, if you should do it outside of the Azara, the Torah, when it speaks about tenufa, lifnei Hashem ksev, says that tenufa has to be done in the Azara. If, on the other hand, iagavoi, if you're going to suggest that you should bring the chaz of a shaykh of chulin into the Beis HaMikdash and do the tenufa there, that isn't an option, because ma'ayel chulin la'azara, it will be, you'll have a situation where you're going to bring chulin into the Azara. Hilkach, v'yafshar. So there is no question, says the Gemara, that there can never be chaz of a shaykh by chulin. And therefore, ask the Gemara, zeh, that the Gemara presented the word zeh as the reason why there is no chaz of a shaykh by chulin, we don't need it for that purpose. And the Gemara asks lamali. Actually, this Gemara is used, we've discussed this machlokes rishonim, and masechet zvachim, and masechet menachos, if the isser of bringing chulin ba'azara is an Issa d'Oraisa or an Issa d'Rabbanan. This Gemara clearly seems to indicate that it's an Issa d'Oraisa. And that's why the Gemara says that Tanufa and Chaz of Ishoik of Chulin can never take place in the Azara, because you have a problem with Chulin Ba'Azara. So how do the Rishonim that hold that the Issa of Chulin Ba'Azara is not an Issa d'Oraisa, that's only an Issa d'Rabbanan, defend themselves? So they say a very interesting shot. Even if you hold that Chulin Ba'Azara is not an Issa d'Oraisa, what does that mean? It means if you just bring an animal or anything into the Azara, that's chulin, and you don't do anything with it, you're not over an Issa d'Oraisa. But they do agree that if you bring if you bring something into the Azara, and you do an avoida with it in the Azara, that certainly is an Issa d'Oraisa. And here the Gemara is suggesting that you should do an avoida with it. You should do tenufa. That certainly is an Issa d'Oraisa. So as we said, erezel lamali, so what do I do with the word zeh? Says the Gemara for a different rule altogether. Uichad Rav Chizda. Dom Rav Chizda. Hamazik matnas kuna. You have in your possession matnas kuna. Oish ochlin, or you ate the matnas kuna. And as I said, and I will say again, there is no issa tevel on matnas kuna. Potem l'shalim. And now the kohen comes to you and said, you damaged or ate up my property. Potem l'shalim. And indeed, says the Gemara, Guf Om Rav Chizda, Hamazik matnas kuna, if somebody's mazik matnas kuna, osh ochlam, potem l'shalom, the kohen has no claim. Ask the Gemara, my tama, what is indeed the reason for this? Answers the Gemara, ibay seima, diksiv zeh. One reason, because that's what the word zeh teaches us. Vibay seima, mishim davale mamun she'en lay tovim. What does mamun she'en lay tovim mean? The kohen approaches you. It says, you know, you destroyed, you ate my matnas kuna. I have a claim. So I could always say to the Kohen, who are you? I'm not obligated to give you this specific Kohen, the Matnas Kuna. So the Din Torah falls away on a technicality. And therefore, there is no Chiv. So Taisvis and the Rosh both indicate there is a Nafkamina between the two Pshatim. According to the Pshat that the Gemara says, Zeh, that means the Torah expressly says that if you destroy the matnas kuhuna, you're not obligated to pay. Doesn't make a difference. According to the reason of Mamet Shein Le Toivin, says Taisvis, it's a technicality. But the right thing is to pay. That's what the Tosfos and the Rosh say. The Ran disagrees. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says that even according to the second pshat, a mom shein leitoyven, you have no obligation to pay, even b'midas chassidus. I do want to make the point, because it's an important point. The focus of this Gemara is not that you didn't do something wrong. The Chavistah says, you certainly did something wrong. That I took Matas Kuna that I'm supposed to give to the Kohen and I destroyed it or ate it, I'm certainly a Gazlin. The focus of the Gemara is a Din Torah focus. Is there a Din Torah or not? So I saw a beautiful vort from the Stipler, how he explains the Machloikas of Tosfos and the Ran. He says as follows, what will be if all the Kohanim, I ate up the Matas Kuna of the Kohen, I'm Yisrael, I ate up the Matas Kun of a Kayin, and all the Kohanim get together with a class action suit against me. What will be the din? He says, according to Tosfos, I'm in trouble. Because yes, every specific Kayin, I could push off and say, I'm not obligated to give it to you. But if all the Kohanim get together, I'm obligated, I did deprive the Shevet Kuna. And that's why Tosfos says, Libidei Shemayim, I have to pay. The Ran, says the Stipler, a nice Chiddush, says that Matnas Kuhuna should not be looked at as Momen HaShevet, as the property of the Kohanim. Just no one Kohen could say, I am the true owner. It's collective. It's called Hefkel Kohanim. He introduces a new halachic terminology. What does Hefkel Kohanim mean? Hefkel Kohanim, he says, means that it's Hefker. We know what Hefker means. Usually the definition of Hefka means that anybody could take it. Here, there's a limited group that can get it. Just Kohanim. But it's Hefker. It doesn't belong to anybody, so there's no Din Torah, even according to the Mandam of Mom and Shein Leitoyven. Meisvei asked the Gemara, so how can we say that there is no Chiv Din Torah if I destroy... One more important question, some Sofer talks about. Here we're saying that if I have Matnas Kuhn in my possession, and I destroy it or eat it, no Din Torah. The question comes up, and this is a real question. Let's say I have designated stucker funds. I have stucker funds under my control. And I go and I use those stucker funds for my own purpose. And now, I have a hira tshuva. What will be the halacha then? Am I obligated to replace that money or not? Says the Chasam Sofer, absolutely. Because he makes a very simple distinction between Matnas Kuhuna and Staka. Matnas Kuhuna are the Zroya L'chaim V'keva. You can't substitute another part of the animal for the Zroya L'chaim V'keva. You can't say, you know what, I'll keep the Zroya L'chaim V'keva and I'll give you the flanken. It doesn't work. It's the Zroya L'chaim V'keva. So if I destroy the Zroya L'chaim V'keva or ate it up, there is no substitution. Money, it's not that I have to give this specific dollar to Tzedaka. I have Tzedaka money, but there's no money specific that has to be given, and therefore if I took that money, I have to replace it. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in the Braisa, V'zeh yeh mishpat ha-kahanim, melamed she-matanus l'din. The Braisa says three words. Melamed she-matanus l'din. Ask the Gemara, l'may hilchasa. What is this Braisa teaching us? Isn't the Braisa teaching us lav letzim b'dayonim that there is a din Torah, that if I took the Matnas Kuhuna, there's a room for a din Torah, contrary to what we just learned? Says Maraloi, that's not what this Braisa means. This Braisa means a different halacha altogether. L'cholkum b'dayonim, that dayonim interfere and get involved who should get the Matnas Kuhuna. Ukur Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Domer Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omer Rav Yonasan, Menayin shein noisnum tonal koin amoritz. How do we know that Matnas Kuhuna should not be given to Hamaratzim? Shenema, the pasuk says by Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, who in his times he was trying to rejuvenate Klal Yisrael. The religious observance was weak under his father Achaz, who was a Rasha. V'yom la'am l'yoshev Yerushalayim loses Matnas l'kahanim l'levim l'man yechzuku b'tayrus Hashem. So he taught us kol ha'machzik b'tayrus Hashem. Yesh loy manas, if somebody is a Talmud Chacham, he's deserving of Matnas Kuhuna, v'shem machzik b'tayrus Hashem ein loy manas. So that's what it means, loitzim b'dayonim, that the dayonim should get involved in determining who should get the Matnas Kuhuna. Because, as the Rishonim explained, it can't mean that the dayonim should force us If they see I'm not giving Matnas Kuna, they could force us, because the Yonim Bezin doesn't get involved to force people to do a mitzvah that the Torah gives us, Matnas Schar B'Tzida. Just some interesting halachas about who to give Matnas Kuna. Certainly, the Gemara says you should give it to Talmid Chachamim. The Darkei Tshuva says that if you have a Talmud Chach, if you gave it to Amoritz, even though you did the wrong thing, but even though if you gave it to Amoritz, the Matana is a Matana. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that let's say you have a Talmud Chacham who's wealthy and Amoritz who's poor, then you should give it to Amoritz. Furthermore, the Rashba says that this entire rule, Bezman Hazeh, doesn't really apply. It goes back to what we discussed earlier. Since the entire Chiv Bezman Hazeh is not more than, according to some Paiskim, a Chiv Derabbanan. Furthermore, we're not really sure who are the Kaharim. They have no Yichas. We don't have to be so makbid Bezman Hazeh. The Shevet Sofer explains why is the halacha this way. So he says it's very much connected to what the Torah says. Smach zvulim b'tzeisecha v'yisachar b'alecha. He says the entire concept behind the Matnas Kuna, whether the Kahanim were the leaders, the Rabbanim of Klal Yisrael, and the lesson is that just like Zvulun, who were the business people, supported the Yisachar, who were the Loim Dei Torah, we have an obligation through the Matnas Kuna to support the Loim Dei Torah. And therefore, we're supposed to, l'chatchila, give the Matnas Kuna to Talmid Chachamim. Interesting question that I saw. We're going to learn later in the Perek, in 2 days of Mitzvah Shem, a discussion in the Gemara if you could fulfill the chiv of Matnas Kuna by giving it to a Kohenes, a woman who is the daughter of a Kohen. But if we're learning now that the chiv is to Talmid Chachamim, so women aren't Talmid Chachamim. So I saw 3 answers. One answer is we just learned that the chiv of Talmid Chachamim, specifically Bezman Hazeh, is not so strong. Furthermore, the woman can be married to a Talmud Chacham. And thirdly, the woman can be a Talmud Chacham. Says the Gemara. Tashma. And again, the Gemara is challenging Rav Chisda. That Rav Chisda says that there are no Din Torahs over Matnas Kahuna. Says the Gemara, the Brisa says as follows. Tashma. Rav Yudah and Beseir Oimer. Mishpat. Melamed. Shematonis Din. That the Matanis are a Din Torah. Yochel afil chazvik shayik din, that if somebody withholds the chazvik shayik, the kohen has a right to take him to din Torah, tamaloy mazeh. Now, again, what does it mean? Before we go further, why is chazvik shayik different than all matnas kuhuna? Because chazvik shayik are part of a carbon, and a carbon is a kapara. So a kapara is different than a chiv mam. Now again, what does the brisa mean? Asked the Gemara. Does the brisa mean regarding who gets it? Ask the Gemara. Why would chaz v'shoik be different than matnas kuna? We always want to give everything to the right person. And here we see that there is rule for din Torah over matnas kuna, contrary to what Rav Chisda said. Answers the Gemara. What is this price referring to? That the kohen already received the matnas kuna. So if the kohen already received the matnas kuna, and then I go and I take it, or I damage it, then there's a right for din Torah. Ask the Gemara, if the kohen already received the matnas kuna, it's no different than anything else that he owns, that if somebody damages or steals, he's obligated. Myla memra, I need a brisa for that? Idos liyodah mamal emdeh, answers the Gemara, the kohen didn't get specifically the matnas kuna. What he got was that he got the whole animal, and he took the matnas kuna, and he was zoich in it. And the ksava haitana, matanish loy hurma, even though they weren't officially separated, the halacha looks at them, kemisha hurban dami, as if they're already designated, and they have the halacha matnas kuna, and they become his. And then if somebody takes it away from him, he has a real din Torah. We know, the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra, Bava Metzia, speak about that people who about Maaser Ani. Maaser Ani means that in the cycle of years, the six-year cycle, seven-year cycle, in the first year there's a Chiyuv Maaser Rishon, so too in the second year. In the third year there's a Maaser Ani. Again, fourth and fifth Maaser Rishon, sixth year is Maaser Ani. Seventh year Shemitah. The question is, who's entitled to Maaser Ani, to get from Maaser Ani? So, the Gemara, as I said in Masechta Bava Basra, discusses at great length how much money you have to you're allowed to have or not allowed to have to be entitled to Maaser Ani. And the Gemara there discusses the following situation. You have a person that's traveling. Baruch Hashem is a comfortable person. But where he is, he has nothing with him. And now, because he's on the road with nothing, so the Brisa says, Noitel. And when he gets home, Yishalem. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. So first of all, I saw a very interesting machlokes between a father and a son. Between the Steipel and the son of Chaim Kanievsky. The Brisa is telling us explicitly that a person who's traveling, even though he is, Baruch Hashem, wealthy, or certainly not entitled to taking tzedakah, on the road he's allowed to take. So how much is he allowed to take? The stipler says he's only allowed to take as much as he needs. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says no. He has the status of an Ani. An Ani doesn't have any limit, so he could take also as much as he wants. Amar, Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says, Midas Chassidus Shana Kan. When Rabbi Elazar says that when you get back home, you have to pay back, it's a Midas Chassidus. Amar Rava says Rava to Rav Chisda, Tana Tana. The Brisa says, Yishalim, that he's obligated to pay, Vat Amrit, Midas Chassidus Shana Kan. Yishalim doesn't seem to be a Lefnim Ishur Sadin. Yishalim says that you're obligated. Void, Midas Lezer, Lake and Velasif. Why are you asking a question for Rabbi Elazar? So Rabbi Elazar says you're obligated to pay. But the Rabbanim disagree. Ella, says the Gemara, the Sefer says, V'cham Aymrim, Ani Hayu Ba'is Hashah. The person was a poor person. While you're on the road and you have no money available to you, you are an Ani. And therefore you're not obligated to pay. Tam Ada Ani. So what does it mean to say, because you are Ani? Hashur Mishalim. It seems to say that if you were a wealthy person and you took Matnas Aniyim, then there is a Din Torah with you. Amai. And the halacha ought to be that you're not obligated to pay. Rav Chisda taught us. I'm Rav Chisda. Says Rav Chisda, the pshat is midas chassidus shana kan. The Rabbanan are arguing with Rabbi Elazar on two counts. Number one, they're saying that if you took matnas kahuna when matnas aniyim stucker while you were on the road and you really didn't have anything available to you, you have no obligation to pay. One rule. The next rule they're saying is that even if you took what you weren't supposed to take, Baruch Hashem, you're a wealthy person, and you do have the funds available to you, you don't have to really pay back. Why? It's Mamon She'en Le'Toivin. Why is it Mamon She'en Le'Toivin? Because there is no specific Ani that could say you deprived me. And when the Braisa says that you, when the Chum says you do have to pay back, it's only Mitz Chassidus, because Rav Chisda is right. Whenever you're talking about Mamon She'en Le'Toivin, there is no Din Torah, Midaraisa, in place. How do we understand? Asked the Achronim of Elazar. Rav Elazar is saying that you were on the road and you really didn't have money available to you. So you're entitled to take Matnas Aniyim. But Rav Elazar says that this person has a Midas Chassidus to pay back. Why? He was entitled to it. So the Achronim say very bechidush. We're used to understanding Matnas Aniyim as black and white. If you're entitled, you're entitled to get the charity. If you're not entitled, you're not entitled to charity. The Chronim Seir Rabbi Elazar says there's a third madrega. There's a person who doesn't have money now, but has money available to him. When he gets Matnas Kahuna, he doesn't get it as charity. He gets it as a loan. And since he gets it as a loan, he should pay back.